It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. God, here we are. Second week in April. Time's flying. I don't know about where you are, but where I was, spring has sprung. Man, I got leaves on trees and bushes and all kinds of stuff. But I think a lot of people are on spring break this week, and I know Barbecue Bob is as well. And we're going to touch base with him in a minute. But co-hosting with me is the Baritone of Beer, my friend Chaz Thompson. And Chaz, thanks for making time again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It's great to come in.
Yeah, well, you always got to cover for Bob because he's doing something. He's crashing something or he's vacationing somewhere. And he's man is a life of leisure, but, you know, I'm just jealous. That's
man
all.
Of experience.
Yeah, that's exactly what he
is. Every week.
Right, yeah. Well, guess what? Now on the live line, we do have Barbecue Bob from Parts Unknown. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for filling in, Chaz. This time I'm actually just screwing around.
Well, good.
That's good. I hope you're upright and not riding anything that makes you fall off. So that'd be good. Where are you, Bob?
I'm sure I'll hear about that for a while. I was pretty banged up. So, you know, being this time of year, the last 20 years, we've always taken our family to Gulf Shores. And one thing is my wife's a court reporter, and all the attorneys go south for spring break, Easter break, and so there's never any depositions.
Uh-oh. I thought you were going to go with this as a business trip for her.
I wish, but she just looked at me and she said, I've got no work for like the next week and a half. I think we should go south. And I go, okay.
Good for you.
So, have any reservations, and we love to camp, and since we sold the motorhome, it was back to the tent. So we found a really cool federal park. It's called Clear Creek Recreation Area, and it's gigantic. It's just south of Big Bob Gibson's, coincidentally, in northern Alabama. And so she booked us a beautiful spot right on the water, and we have had a day. I'll tell you, we've been down here for almost a week. We're packing up now to come home, but it has been fantastic weather, about 80 degrees and sunny. We had one night of rain, but I built us a little shelter, and we've got this big circle cook area with a great, I'll tell you, America has the greatest federal campgrounds anywhere, but this is definitely one of the nicest ones I've ever seen. There goes the park host and his little Cushman cart. And
I was wondering if you had a golf cart too.
Right.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't mind one, but
you're getting to be that age,
right? Yeah,
it's got the typical post with the charcoal grill, you know, and the big grate, but then it's also got this big round fire pit that's got a grate on one end. So you build a fire and you just push your coals in there. I'll tell you what, my wife has been doing the cooking because I got a bad wing, and so last night she made sirloin steaks that we picked up right before we left.
Right.
And just salt and pepper, sirloin, and a little rice pilaf and some asparagus on that grate. And I love cooking on a fire. The night before she made burgers. The day before it was just hot dogs, just simple camping stuff. The day before that it was chicken breasts. And I'll tell you what, I don't think I'll have to grill anymore because she's really getting the hang of this grilling thing.
Well, you finally got somebody in your family who's got some talent, must be, huh? I get it.
Maybe somebody's listening to the show.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You probably figured out she does listen from time to time because when you get home, I'm sure there's comments. But anyway, well, good. You're on the mend. If you do get a golf cart, don't jack it up. Keep one low to the ground. That low center of gravity is good for you.
Yeah, no rewiring it.
Right. But
We're packing up today, and we're heading back. So we're going to Big Bob Gibson's on the way back. It's an hour, 33 minutes from here. Not that I've really checked, but
turn by
looking
turn.
Forward to that.
Yeah. Good, man. Well, hey, grab some of that mayo sauce that they make down there for their chicken and bring that back. right?
White sauce.
White sauce. Okay. Yeah. Bring a quart of that back for me. I'll make sure you get paid for it. So.
Well, have a good trip back. Bye.
All right. Safe travels, brother.
All right, guys. Thanks for calling.
See ya. Bye. Well, there you are. Barbecue Bob on a camping trip with his wife. I don't know if you guys remember, but a few weeks ago, he got in a little motorcycle accident. He's kind of okay. And he's down there with one arm. So he's got one in a sling. And I would imagine that camping, there's a little bit of physical action that goes with that.
Well, I bet Marine has to cut up his steak for him.
Could be. She's probably used to that.
Well, but, yeah. It's good that he's got somebody to look out for him.
Yeah. So Chaz, what'd you grill this last week, man?
Hey, you know, the burgers hit on. It was burgers. You know, we've had days. You know, we have friends that are down south like Bob, and everybody's down there telling us the temperatures, and we look out the window, and it's the same thing here.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, it's been 70 degrees. We've had a little rain, but, hey, that's going to make the flowers pop, right?
Right.
So I got out the big cast iron griddle again on the grill.
Uh-huh.
Made smash burgers.
Okay, so you're on your gas grill, which has normal grates on it, but you put a cast iron skillet on top, or actually a griddle.
I got a big griddle, yeah. Right. And it's great for whether you want to do pancakes or, you know, I use it a lot for fajitas or fish tacos and things like that. But smash burger is really awesome because you get to keep a lot of the juices right there with it. They're not dripping off and down in.
Right.
So it's a little different than the grilling, but I'm still outdoors.
And they crisp up a little bit on that.
You can get them a little crisp on the outside and right off the side in the same kind of juices and stuff. You can throw down some mushrooms and onions and saute those up, baby.
Ooh, for the top here for your burger.
Little herbs, a pat of butter on them mushrooms, maybe a splash of beer if you need to hydrate them a little bit.
Well, you can splash a beer back throat, or you can splash it on the grill, maybe a little
both,
right?
There's enough to share.
Right, exactly. Well, that's kind of cool. I had some people over on Tuesday for Taco Tuesday. My wife enjoys that. And so about every other week we have a Taco Tuesday and, you know, bust out a little jug of margaritas and have some fun on a Tuesday night. And, the guy came over and he wanted, advice on a smoker. He wanted to buy a smoker, right?
We get asked all the time, don't we?
Yeah. So I had that conversation with him, but when it came time to make dinner, I decided to make fajitas rather than tacos. And, I got out cast iron. And I did not do it on the grill because I grill my, or actually saute my tortillas.
Yeah.
Right, I like them. I do a little Old World Olive Company's lime oil, and I'll brush that on there, and then in a really hot skillet, just brown them up a little bit. You know, they crisp up a little bit. Ooh, with that lime flavor, it's wonderful. But he came in and he's like, "Well, why are you cooking inside? You're a grilling guy." Well, I had four skillets, iron skillets going because I cooked beef, I cooked chicken, and then I cooked onions and peppers.
Sure.
And then I cooked the tortillas, and I wanted it all done at the same time, right? So you're eating everything that's hot. So I had the stove just loaded up with cast, cooking everything, but it turned out good. But
now
I think
you
were somewhat disappointed.
Yeah, you can take that cast out there like I did the cast iron griddle out onto the grill if you want to. But, you know, I think I've been accused of it too. Why aren't you grilling? And, you know, hey, guys, we're not cavemen.
Right.
We have tools all over the house, the garage, the deck.
Right. Plus, look right here. I said, I don't have a refrigerator right next to my grill, but I got one right next to my stove. And get in there and have a margarita while you watch me cook on the stove here. So, you know, it worked out. But anyway, it was fun. The fajitas just with the the vegetables are wonderful.
A little slice of lime to do the pinch on top.
Oh yeah, baby. Right. You know, get a little that steams up too a little bit if you do it right in that really hot skillet. So it's kind of cool. But so this week we're going to talk about proteins on your grill. What cuts you like. How to's, the do's, don'ts, and whys. And we're going to start with a little bit of beef. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Joe from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations,
2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites: Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family has been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, I don't know about where you are, but spring sprung where I am, and that means it's grilling time. And
hey, Jop.
Yeah.
Where's the beef?
Yeah, exactly. Let's start there then, man. Because what we're going to do is we're gonna run around the meat case today and talk about different kinds of proteins and what my favorite, Chaz's favorite is, and then maybe some do's, don'ts, and how-tos. So here we go. Your favorite cut of beef on a grill or smoker?
Skirt steak.
Okay, why?
Skirt steak because it just comes out so damn tender. It's so easy. Just to, you pop it in a marinade, you let it go. Like, especially going camping or something like that. Throw the Ziploc with the marinade in the cooler, drink beer.
So what do you do with, what are you doing for a marinade?
Man, it's real basic. It's going to be, you got to have some acid in there. So usually I'm going to start with like pineapple juice, because I'm going to go a little tropical feel on here. I'm going to put some herbs in there, probably like some green peppercorns and some garlic. And I'm probably going to mush up an onion and put that in there and just make sure it's all covered and everything. Get the air out of the zip, throw it in the cooler, throw it in the refrigerator, whatever you're going to do. Let it rest, man. 24 hours is not too long.
Right, right.
You need 3-4 hours minimum just to make sure everything's right. Happy. And that's going to help break down those connective tissues. It's going to help do that stuff. If you get a piece that looks a little tough, maybe run the jacquard through it.
Okay. But everybody knows what a jacquard is. That's that little bed of nails, right?
The bed of nails.
It kind of tenderizes it.
If you got the crank one, like the fancy one at the butcher or whatever. But yeah, it just cuts those connective tissues as you go through. And, you know, especially if you get a jacquard that has the blades instead of the round nails.
Right.
And it just tenderizes it even more. So what you do then is then you just get a hot grill and layer out there. And this stuff's thin, so this is quick. Mm-hmm. This is not a low and slow. You know, that's a project to get out the smoker. And
right.
You're going to feed some people with this. This is, you know, you and your girl
right.
out there or your significant other out there just needing some dinner on a nice night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to grill it up, and I'm going to do some simple stuff to go with it. And whether I serve that with like some grill fries or in tortillas or whatever, it goes.
Right, right. And that skirt steak is not a cheap cut, but it's not your most expensive cut in the case either. So,
no, it's very reasonable.
Right, and that it's down on the belly is where the skirt, i.e., that's why they call it skirt steak, and it can be a little chewy if you don't marinate it. So I think
marinate it, maybe a little jacquard, and make sure you really understand how to cut it
mm-hmm.
so that you're not getting these long strips of grain in there. You want to cut across the grain and make some pieces that are going to be kind of bite-sized, because quite often, if you're on a campsite, man, you might be on plastic forks.
Sure.
Or caveman-ish going with the fingers.
Yeah,
which,
right.
I have been guilty.
Right, I've done that too. So,
what about you?
Well, you know, my favorite cut of beef is a porterhouse steak. It's the perfect family cut for me. I have one dog, one wife, and one me, right? And I go over to Sobey Meats, and he'll cut me up, a porterhouse steak about an inch and a quarter to an inch and a half thick, and you've got a New York strip on one side of that bone, and you've got a filet on the other side of that bone. Neither one of those are anything to scoff at. They're both very good cuts of meat on their own, but you get both of them on this cut, the porterhouse steak. And my wife doesn't eat as much meat as I do, so I take the New York strip size, which is about twice the size of that filet side, right? But I leave it on the bone because I want it to cook evenly, and I like just the presentation. Many times, this thing looks like the state of Michigan. There's that New York strip side is big like your hand, then it's round like your thumb on the other side. But I'm at a medium hot grill, and I bring that out. I think it's very important to – I use a thing called Tim's Blend. You get that at Sobeys, but it's just an all-around barbecue seasoning. It's got onion and garlic and salt and pepper
all kinds of goodies in there,
right. Tim's love. So I cover it with that and then let it come to room temperature for like an hour before I cook it. Why? Because if it's cold in the center, to get the center done, you're going to have the outside overdone, okay? So I'm on a medium-hot grill. I'm going to 10 into it, if you know what that is. I'm going to throw it quarter ways on the grates. At about 2 or 3 minutes, I'm going to pick it up, move it to a spot on the grates that I've not put any meat on yet, and move it a quarter turn, 90 degrees, and you get that nice crosshatch. And it's only for looks, is all that is. And that's on the first side.
Well, you got a wife and a dog to impress.
Right, right. And so then I flip it over, and I finish the cook. I know my grilling equipment, but if you are new to a grill or you're not seasoned, no pun intended, as some of us are, then you're going to want to have a temperature gauge out there. I use a thermopen, but stick it in the middle, the thickest part of the steak. And we like our steaks medium rare. That's about 125 to 130 degrees. When the internal temperature is there, pull that thing off and let it rest 4 or 5 minutes. The juices will all be running around in there, and as it cools a little bit, they'll come home, and every bite will be super juicy.
And there's something really chivalrous about slicing out the meat for the family for the lady in your life. And,
right.
You know, showing, being proud of your work.
Right.
Good presentation, skills, nice knife. Get out the nice stuff once in a while.
Oh, yeah, the china, the whole deal. And this time of year, we love eating outside. So it's walk from the grill to the table. It's still crackling a little bit and maybe, you know, throwing off a little steam or smoke. So it's wonderful. I love marinated asparagus, and I just take some simple Italian dressing, zesty Italian dressing. Like Chad said, put it in a Ziploc, put enough zesty in there to cover it, take the air out, roll it up, and let that set for 10 minutes or 3 hours. It doesn't matter, because what you're really doing is getting the flavoring on it in a little oil so it crisps up a little bit on the grill. That's all we're doing with that.
And a little nose stick.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. So it won't stick on the grill. You know, go across the grill. Don't go long ways because you'll lose them. They're divers. But anyway, that steak and that asparagus to me is the quintessential meal. And then when we're done, the dog gets a T-bone. Right?
He gets that bone right there.
Right on the
go.
Middle. Of, yeah. And you know what? They love it. So it's a perfect family meal for me. Some for me, some for Lisa, some for Shotzi the dog.
Shotzi makes sure.
Oh, yeah. She's patient, too.
She's a man's best friend.
Right. Yeah. She watches me grill regularly and gets a little tidbits, you know.
Hey, grilling partners are important.
Yeah, they are. I've taught her to. I can't teach her to open up the fridge. I got to put a little towel on there, but I can throw a beer can. She'll go get it and bring it back to me. So we're in training. It's going to happen, and it will be videoed when I get this thing perfected. She will be able to. I'm going to get me a beer, Shotzi. She'll go to the fridge, open the door, grab a beer, hit it with her tail.
If nothing else, then just putting the returnables away.
Right, yeah.
I'd exactly. be game on that.
Yeah, yeah, but anyway, so... both of those were grilled items. You did a skirt steak, and I just used the regular grill grates. You know, there's lots of things we can do on the smoker, and I'm sure we'll cover that in the next few segments, because what we're going to do next is we're gonna be a little high on the hog here. We're going to see what your favorite cuts and your how-tos on hog, and I'm pretty sure when we talk hog, one of us will go smoker. So anyway... Stick with us. We're going to smoke or grill a hog. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We just talked a little bit about beef cuts. Had a little skirt steak and a porterhouse. Those are great. There's lots of other ones out there. I'm really surprised neither one of us touched on a brisket, but that feeds a group.
That feeds a group.
That isn't just a meal. That's for a group of people. But I am getting some calls for graduations this year. Surprise me. Speaking of groups of people, I think that we're all getting our belly full of COVID, and some of these kids that were neglected their senior year for a lot of things during the COVID season now are graduating, and they're like, I want to have a party and bring your mask and we're going to eat kind of thing. So one of the popular things at a grad party is buffet food, right? You can drive by and get it and go from place to place. Pork. Works really good for that.
Oh, pulled
pork is good. But
and when we can hook the trailer mounted smoker up to and take it places.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And plus it holds so well. So our next protein on the docket is pork, and I'll start with a pulled pork. If you've smoked anything in your life, you've probably tried what's called a pork butt. It's actually the shoulder, the front shoulder of a hog. And it's a roast, and you can buy it with the shoulder blade in it, or you can buy it deboned. If you buy it with the shoulder blade in it, you have a built-in internal thermostat. And when that shoulder blade is exposed about 2 inches, your meat's done, and you should be able to grab that blade and give a little shake, and it'll come out spick and span clean. That means it's cooked all the way through.
And it's done well enough to pull.
That's right. Exactly. And the thing with pulled pork is if you've not done this on a smoker, please do. You're going to get it for $1.39 to $1.59 a pound. You know what? For 10 bucks, take a chance. Okay? Because they're 6, 7, 8 pound roasts, each one of them. You can just, you can't hurt the stuff. But there's a few things you need to do.
It's very forgiving to start.
Right.
Well, the first thing, you got to rub your butt.
Right, you do. And what that means is that you're going to open this thing in the package, and there's going to be this fat cap on it. Leave it on there. And then the other three sides, or five sides, if you will, there's ends and four sides, right? So the other sides of that thing are going to be exposed meat. And what you want to do is you can rub it with a little mustard to make it sticky, or if you're putting the seasonings on it right as soon as you get out of the package, it's probably still a little damp. Either way, you want something to help you stick the seasoning to the pork butt, right? And I'll use it's usually got sugar, paprika, salt, pepper, garlic, any good barbecue rub.
Yeah, there's so many rubs out there. You go over to Sobey's, you go over to any of our other friends like Garrett's or anybody right. else, they're going to have a shelf full of those. Even the local grab and grill grocery is going to have some rubs in it. And like you said, the big deal is getting it to stick.
Right.
And I like the cheap yellow mustard as a way to stick it on there, because now I got a little mustard flavor in there.
Right. Yep. And so what happens then is you got this piece of meat about the size of a volleyball. Okay. Little different shape, but about the size of a volleyball. And you're going to fire up your smoker for this, because this is low and slow. This is something that's going to take you 7 to 10 hours to cook, depending on the equipment that you're using and what the temperature is outside.
Yeah, you start this baby right after breakfast.
Right.
With the morning coffee.
Right.
And by the time you're done doing all your yard work on a Saturday afternoon,
right,
it's going to be time for that next step of pulling it off.
That's right. So when I'm going to get a smoker going, and you can use a pellet grill, you can use a charcoal smoker, you can use a wood burner, whatever you have, and you're going to want to get a little smoke going, and you get the cooking chamber up to about 280 degrees is where I like to get it, okay? And then what I do is I use lump charcoal in my smoker, and then because that is a very consistent heat, you can damper it down and it'll stay consistent, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But then I also use a chunk of flavor wood, whether it's a piece of apple or hickory or some other fruit wood, piece of cherry or whatever it may be. But Bob just cut down some hickory trees in his yard, and I got
you know
a,
this
a bunch
time
of
year I've got the chainsaw on the back of the truck.
Yeah,
I also have some extra onion sacks in the back of the truck.
Right,
because if you see that opportunity, like maybe some of these orchards or something have some trim wood,
right,
and they throw it off in a big brush pile out by the road.
Right.
They don't mind you go get a few sticks.
Right. And that apple's really good.
And especially this time of year because it's got some sap in it.
Yeah.
And now that's going to be a little extra sweet.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. So I've got this thing seasoned up. I got my smoker at 280. I like to put the fat side down on my smoker. There's a 50-50 on that. Up or down, doesn't matter. I like it down. I'm never going to eat it. Okay. It creates a barrier and it renders off a little bit. I don't need a bath of fat over my pork. I've got it seasoned like I like it. And I put the fat side down, and you set it and don't look at it. Don't open it up. And what's going to happen is in I would recommend an internal thermometer if you're just getting started, a probe that goes in and it's going to tell you what the internal temperature of that meat is.
And you can go out and get these that have a little wireless remote.
Yep.
If you spend the big dollars, you can get the ones that talk to your phone. But that'll solve your curiosity. You don't have to look at it. You can check that temperature without ever opening the lid.
Because the key to this is consistency. You don't want spikes and lows in the temperature. You want it consistent, which is why you don't want to look, right? So you got this temperature probe in there, and what you're going to find is this pork butt gets up to about 145 to 150 degrees, and it does what's called a stall.
Yep.
And the stall, it just sits there. It's been getting warm. You're looking at it, and all of a sudden, it stops. And it's the weirdest phenomenon, but it happens all the time. It's not your equipment. It's just what Mother Nature does. And that thing will sit there for about 2 hours at that 145, 150 temperature, and then, bam, it'll pop, and you'll get up to your, I cook to 192 on pork butt. If you go over 200, it gets a little mealy. It'll break it down too much, and if you don't get over 190, then it doesn't pull real well. But that's why the temperature is important. And if you've got that probe in there, you're still not looking. You know, you can monitor the temperature of your smoker, and you'll get that stuff off. Now, here's the cool part about pulled pork. If I've got a group of people coming over, I time my cook so that I'm done 3 or 4 hours before they get there. And I wrap that stuff up in foil after I take it off the grill, put it in a dry cooler. It'll be just as hot, just as juicy, just as warm 4, 5, 6, 7 hours from now. So I'm not messing with that when I'm cooking other things for my guests.
You know, my go-to pork thing's a little simpler.
Good, man.
Because it's that time of the year a lot of people haven't used their grill all year, and it's break-in time for the season.
Sure.
Right? Now, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to light that thing up, and I'm getting her as hot as possible because I don't know what crawled in there over the winter.
Right.
There might be a little spider web. There might be, you know, a little fievel or something like that. I want to drive them all out.
Right.
Kind of sterilize the rig. And as it's coming back down, one of my favorite things to do is to just go get some either blade steaks or bone-in pork chops.
Yep.
Just put them out there on that. You don't need anything more than salt and pepper on them. Put it out there on that grill and get that fast sear as that whole rig's coming back down.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it mellow and get your grill marks on it. And grill marks, that's another thing, is don't move your meat until it releases.
Right. And what does that mean, really, when it releases? Well, how do you know that?
If it's sticking to the grate and you got your tongs out, because we're not assaulting this with no fork, okay?
Right.
We're going to get our tongs out and you just gently lift an edge. And if it comes away from the grate, hey, you got your grill mark. And
right.
You're time to turn.
Right.
I think
that's called the Maillard principle.
Well, the Maillard effect is how it browns.
Right.
Okay, and it's a chemical reaction. We talk about that in beer, too.
Yep.
But
When it releases, then it's time to turn it. And when I flip it over on that second side, a lot of times I like to put a slice of pineapple on top.
Mm.
And when I put that slice of pineapple on top, what I'm probably going to do with it is some thin sliced sweet onion.
Really? Pineapple and onion. Interesting combination.
Put it right on top on the second, after you've done the flip. And let that all that juice come back down and soften those grill marks a little bit. Soften that Maillard. And you can pretty much let it coast out, then pull that off, put it on a platter. Like you said in the last segment, we got to let it rest a little bit. Don't be rushing your meat.
Right, right.
You know, you got time to get the salad ready. You got time to do that presentation stuff.
Yep.
You know, and if you use that pineapple coring tool, you can pull that thing out and make a big drink cocktail thing out of it, too.
Oh, how cool. Always, always good stuff, man. All right. Well, sorry about the long diatribe about cooking a pork butt, but it takes a long time to cook them and takes a long time to talk about it. So anyway, coming up next, we're going to do a little yard bird and some fishing. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys Show. That's it.
Welcome back, Yarlis the Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking proteins on your favorite cooking apparatus today. And we covered beef and pork.
Now it's time to fly and swim.
That it is. I'll take fly, you swim it. All right?
Got it.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you go first. Let's talk a little bit of seafood, fish. What is it that you like to do?
Well, you know, I'm Michigan boy, and it's steelheading time, right?
Yes, it is.
And if you're good, got some good buddies, made friends, helped out some people clear some trees over the time, somebody will probably invite you out steelheading.
Right.
Well, you can go do a little bank work, too, and stuff, and get a nice big fillet of steelhead. And you can put that out on the grill really, really easy, and it's not a lot of work. A lot of people are spooked by fish.
Pretty mild fish, too, isn't it?
Especially, yeah. And they see this big, you know, inch and a half thick, 2-inch thick fillet. They're intimidated. Don't be. Real easy. Go get a little of Shasta's flavored oil. Put a little of that on there.
A little lemon, maybe?
You can go lemon. You can go anything with the citrus in it and stuff, or even the garlic.
Okay.
Really easy. There's a lot of, I mean, this, you're starting from a blank slate.
You're not going to put a lot of it on there, or just?
I'm going to rub it down and coat it.
Yep.
Just rub it down and coat it.
Is there skin on the fish still or not?
The way I do it, I keep the skin on.
I would, too.
And so I'm going to do the meat side, the flesh side. Now, I'm a nice host, and I pull the pin bones.
Oh.
You know what the pin bones are? Those are the small little bones that kind of go vertical through the fillet.
Right.
All right? They're going to be sticking up. So if you run your hand down the fillet,
you'll feel them.
From the tail to the head, they're going to snag your finger as you go down. Grab a pair of forceps or clean needle nose pliers and just pull those out. And if you put two fingers on each side of one,
it pulls up and doesn't rip a lot of meat.
Right.
Pop those out so your guests don't have to worry about those. Rub down that thing with oil. Put some seasoning on it. You can do it real easy with some black pepper, a little bit of sea salt, maybe some lemon slices, maybe some onion slices, just whatever you want to do. Just put a little bit to it. And quite often, if I'm grilling, I'll even hold off on those. I'll just get the oil on it with seasoning and maybe a little dry herb, like Italian dress or Italian mix herb on there. Then what I'm going to do is with a medium-hot grill, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go flesh side down.
Okay.
When I go flesh side down on there, I'm putting some grill marks on there. Like I mentioned in the last segment, we're going to wait until it just releases.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be careful with this because if it cooks too fast, it'll flake.
Right.
Right? And you're going to leave it on the grill.
Right. So I use a big, wide spatula on this, okay? This is not the time for tongs. Get a big, wide spatula. If you got big filet, maybe two of them. Just when it you can work it away without it ripping it all to shreds, roll it over onto the skin side. Now, when I roll it over on the skin side, quite often I'll take something like as simple as a mustard dressing or something. Pour that right on the top of the flesh side now. Put down my onions and my lemons on there. And turn the heat back down to about quarter. If you can control it that nice, you know, if you're on a gas grill. Otherwise, stove your vents down.
Mm-hmm.
And on that skin side on the grill, just let it finish up. And as it's finishing up, it won't take terrible long, but it is a 2-inch thick piece of meat. Right. Now, by putting that sauce on top, you've protected and rehydrated that top edge.
Okay.
To keep it soft so you don't get that burnt crustiness on it.
Right. But you wanted some grill marks on it.
So I wanted grill marks because I'm a grilling guy, and somebody's going to say, why didn't you do that on the grill?
Right.
And you go through and you do that. And as it you start to get in there with your spatula and wiggle the edges and stuff, you'll start to see where it flakes.
Right.
And it starts to separate. And the meat's going to go from, you know, a translucent to a dark. Now, on a steelhead, it's pink meat. So you're not going to turn it white. You turn it white, we've burned the hell out of it.
Right.
So once you got that going, you're really close to done. Now, your next real easy skill is to take that spatula and slip it between the meat and the skin and just lift it off in servable chunks. You don't have to try and get the whole fish at once. Servable chunks onto your platter and let it rest a little bit. It'll coast right out to where exactly where you want it.
Yep. Very nice.
And you can grill some veggies on the side. There's a lot of great veggies. Grilled carrots and steelhead, for some reason, just go awesome together.
Wow. Grilled carrots. A whole carrot with the tops on them?
Oh, I just have them.
Yep.
I'll do a quick trim on them, have them, put them on there. And just about before they come off, maybe a little pepper and honey on it.
Ooh, pepper and honey on carrots. God, that sounds good. I bet my wife would like that. She loves those kind of things. Well, in the next 2 or 3 minutes, I did a turkey for Easter rather than and a ham because, you know, I had a lot of people over. But talk about the turkey. I did a project called spatchcocking, and it's a funny name. But what it really means is you're taking the backbone and the ribs out of the bird. All right, you got this big, you know, 12, 14-pound turkey I had. Wasn't a huge one, you know, young one, whatever. And you flip it over breast side down, and you take some really heavier-duty scissors, and you start, there's a tail on them, right, when they come out of the package. Go up both sides all the way up to the neck, and it's going to open up.
Pull that spine right out.
Right, I'm just in it. And it's big around is maybe like a golf ball all the way up through there. Once you cut it out, throw it away. Not
throw
using
it. Stock pot.
Right, yeah, you could, but I threw it away. And then you look in there, and the rib cage is there. And I just take it out because it grills better without it. So I took the rib cage out with a knife. So now I've got this turkey open, and I've got a meat side, right? I've got both thighs, and I've got the inside, the chest cavity, that's all meat. So I season it all, right? And then I flip it over and put it on my grill in indirect heat because you don't want direct grill heat because it'll burn because this is going to take an hour and a half, 2 hours to cook. So I did it on indirect heat on my charcoal grill. I put what's called a plate setter, which is a divider between the fire and the grates to defer the heat. It's still there, but it's not direct, right? So it's laying there with the two thighs and legs out to the side and the breast with that meat side down and the skin side up. covered it with some barbecue seasoning. I like to use stuff with paprika in it for the red color, because what you're not going to flip this thing. I let the lid down. I had a probe in it, and when that breast, deepest in the breast, got to 170 degrees, I was good, right? And I was done. So, but this thing, I had some friends over, and one of the guys actually a chef. And when I opened the top of that green egg, he's like, oh, my God, that is beautiful. And it was, because it was a rich mahogany color, and it hadn't been moved, and the skin was crisp up.
It little
was,
smoke ring to
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And it tastes good. Juicy, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Once right. you learn how to do turkey other than throwing it in a bag in the oven,
right?
You know, man cooking a turkey, there's some awesome things you can do to
right.
it.
Right, yep. And I did not inject this one, but from time to time you can, if you like doing that. So,
hey, you're going to need a big platter for that one.
Yeah, you are, yeah. Yeah, because you want to serve it like it is and then cut it up at the table. Because fresh carved at the table is, you know, man style.
The show is half the deal.
Right, it's man style. But anyway, so coming up next, we're going to finish up with maybe some wild game or a side dish or two. But we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Now you're a man! A man!
Law is when grilling for your hungry buddies, never try a recipe for the first time if you have limited or no experience with the main ingredients. That's a Jop man law, because I've done it before and embarrassed myself. And you know, you're supposed to be the grilling guy. And if something doesn't come out right because you don't have a lot of experience cooking it.
Or it took 2 hours too long.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Guys are hungry in a half hour and an hour and a half from now. Hey, I'm sorry, guys. It's just not up to temperature
and
yet.
You're feeding them beers, so they're going to start razzing you pretty hard.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, been there, done that. Just a word of advice for the man law. But so, Chaz, we're going to bring this train to the station here. We've been talking a lot about favorite things. Wild game or side dishes? Where you want to go?
I can do the wild game because, you know, I got a couple of deer this year and I already got a couple of other things. And, you know, venison on the grill is one of those things I really love to do. I got a lot of it in the freezer. But, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, kebabs are a great way to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, venison steaks are kind of a little bit tricky and they can dry out real quick if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
But you can take a lot of the venison cuts, and some of they're not as pretty as what you're going to get from Sobeys and beef, right?
Right, right.
They're odd shaped and things like that. So if you got a group, 4 or 5 people around, cube it up, marinate it. Marinate your mushrooms with the meat.
Mm.
It softens up the mushroom a little bit so they don't crack when you run the skewer through them.
Right.
Yep. You want to hydrate them. They're just a sponge there to carry flavor. And your marinade has all that beautiful flavor in it.
Right.
So do that.
It doesn't hurt with the meat in there, right?
You're going to cook it.
Right, exactly.
And I put my mushrooms and meat on one skewer, and I'm going to put my veggies on another skewer.
Peppers, onions,
tomatoes maybe.
Yep.
Tomatoes are really tricky. Right. Sometimes they get their own skewer because they're tricky stuff.
That's a great tip right there, is put your tomatoes on their own skewer because they're going to cook, and what you don't want them to do is blister and pop. And then you got nothing
red zits on the grill.
Yeah, and skins on your skewer, right?
Yeah, so do that. And, you know, if you need a little more hydration in there, pineapple always works in there. Little cubes of pineapple keeps things hydrated, little acid to help break it down.
Right, very good. But That's a
What's your favorite side besides asparagus?
My favorite side beside asparagus is a grilled salad. I've covered it many times at the show, but it's just a romaine that I put some oil and vinegar on and grill it. Believe it or not, you can grill lettuce. But the first time I do that for everybody, they're blown away that you can grill lettuce and make it good. You know, when I get to the fourth side, a romaine is a cube, right? When I get the fourth side, I put a little crumbled blue cheese and some candied walnuts on it. And it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and if you make up your own Caesar or grab some EVO and balsamic and whip up your own dressing right there beside the grill,
right?
People are impressed.
Right, they are, and it's easy to do. But anyway, hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Chaz,
hey, thanks for having me over again.
You know what, man? I appreciate you stepping in. We're Barbecue Bob's on vacation, but he'll be back. So
until next week, he does his next crazy thing.
Right, yeah. Next week, we'll chat with you then. Thanks.